Our verse today comes from Genesis chapter 12. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. Imagine that you have two of your friends who are going to be at the Broncos game, televised. They're going to be on about the 50-yard line. You know that they're going to be there in person, and so you wonder if by some chance you might, by the camera, just happen to focus on them for a moment. And you know that the chances are not too good when there's almost 80,000 people. So what are the odds? Then suddenly, there they are, right there on the screen. And you probably even say their name. Because how can this be? The many, and yet here they are, the two of them right there on the screen. Or how many of you remember the Where is Waldo books? Oh, yes. I love to do those with my children, and they've been around a while, but when you do that, it's hard to find that one little Waldo stuck there somewhere in that vast picture. And you can page through those books looking time and time again to see, where is Waldo? Well, that's sort of how God deals with us. The history of our God, and that shared through the Bible, is that God is pretty good at finding who he wants to nail down at that point in time in history. Think about it. A number of years ago, several millennia ago, God chose Abraham. He singled him out. Here he is, one in all the earth that was there. God singled out this leader, and he promised to him to bless him, to be a blessing to the nations. And then we see that's exactly what happens. Some say this idea of Abraham bringing the nations being fulfilled has impacted all the world religions. You realize that Jews and Christians and yes, Muslims are called Abrahamic religions because they all recognize Abraham in a significant way in their history and traditions. I remember talking to a Muslim who said, well, we're all the same. We all come from the same father, Abraham. So that makes us very close together. And yet we know that it goes much further than just this connection. We believe that God blessed Abraham to be a blessing to establish that nation, Israel, and we watched it unfold in the Old Testament. God blessed Abraham, and from this one came many. And so by the end of Genesis, you have this nation that he has chosen, the 12 tribes now settled in Egypt. There was a promise there, and that promise had been fulfilled. He gave it to Abraham. It was very personal. And he said to him, from you will come a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing in you. All the families of the earth shall be blessed. You and I live among many people. Sometimes people say it's getting a little crowded around here. And yet we are defined by our communities. Those communities we cherish. The relationships we hold dear, the culture that shapes all of us. More and more we begin to think globally. We know what happens in around the world almost instantaneously. We care about what happens on the other side of the world. It's a greatly changed place. And in so many ways, we can lose ourselves in the culture. Here we are, one among many. Almost a century ago, Thornton Wilder wrote a play, Our Town. It was rather prophetic in recognizing how the one can get lost in the many. Wilder had this character, one of his characters, Rebecca, recalled a letter her friend Jane had received. It was addressed to Jane Crowfoot. The Crowfoot Farm, Grover's Corner, Sutton County, New Hampshire, United States of America, continent of North America, Western Human Hemisphere, the Earth, the solar system, the universe, the mind of God. Can you see that all in that envelope? And as you see Jane, she becomes smaller and smaller and smaller as you read through those things. And yet, God chooses one. One among many. How do we see that one becoming such a blessing? How do we become blessings among so many others around us? Just as in the case of that play in Old Town, there is one who created all of us, who knows us by name, who chose us to be his very own. And yes, from this individual we move, yes, to the universe. But when we move to the universe, we move also to the Creator God. And see, when we do that, it's pretty easy to lose ourselves along the way. And yet, our God is working out that plan of divine salvation. He does it through Abraham and through others that we'll be exploring throughout this journey. He has a divine plan in mind. And God delivers that divine mail to Jane, to you, to me. It's the message of Abraham's call. Yes, God is choosing one for the many. There's a famous painting. It's an interesting painting. It's done by the Flemish Renaissance painter, Peter Bruegel. It's called The Census of Bethlehem. And I think you can see it up there. It was done in 1566. Bruegel places the story of Christmas Eve in his own contemporary setting of the 1500s, of a taxing census in a bustling peasant village in the low countries of the Netherlands. There is enough to see the painting that you could probably take a long time to figure out everything that's going on within the painting. There are ice skaters, snowball fights, kids sledding across the ice. There's the draining of a slaughtered pig's blood that's going to be used for sausage. There's a makeshift pub, a crumbling castle, and in the background, a well-kept church, and a long line of taxpayers. You have to look for, but if you look real closely, there in the middle of the painting is Mary on a donkey being led by Joseph into Bethlehem. A cow beside her looks around. There she is, the expectant Mother of the Lord. And here he puts it in this village in the Netherlands. The one among many, the chosen one. He could say to her, blessed are you, Mary, for you will have the Son of God. So here we are in the Advent season. Each week we light a new candle. We embark on that whole season of coming closer and closer to the remembrance of what God has done for us. The gospel does not merely teach us the history of Christ. It enables us to believe, to receive it as our own. That's what the gospel is all about, to be lived out in our hearts. What is it for Christ to just be born 1,000 times over even if it was not something that was to become with part of who we are? Martin Luther, on one of his Christmas Day sermons, put it this way. The gospel does not merely teach about the history of Christ. No, it enables all who believe it to receive it as their own, which is the way the gospel operates. Of what benefit would be to me if Christ had been born 1,000 times and he would daily be sung into my ears in a most lovely manner, if I were never to hear that he was born for me and was to be my own, very own? Yes, we are among many, but it's what becomes personal in our own life. That's what the season of Advent is all about. Yeah, there are the lights, the carols, all the greenery, the cookies, those special gifts that make this a special time of year. But yet, there is that one message that needs to come to each of our lives. It's been shared one by one. Just as God picked Abraham from the many to be a blessing to all of the nations, we too can be a blessing in our own time. Christ, as we will be talking about, was born unto us today. It's not just something that took place way out there. It's about our taking that into our own heart and to see ourselves as being blessed by God and to be a blessing to others. The theme song for this is O Little Town of Bethlehem. And I would like to close with this prayer, the fourth verse. O Holy Child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sins and enter in. Be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. Oh, come to us. Abide with us. Our Lord Emmanuel. Amen.